Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of All Out with Madre Sotolar Becky. Yes, I am definitely your host, Madre Sotolar. So tonight's show is about parental alienation and how tough the holidays can be without your kids. Before we begin, I would like to thank Vex Yoga in Mission Viejo for having me try their yoga, which was called Restorative Yoga. 2018 brings me on a healthy journey since I'm still looking at number 28 procedure next week. So, ladies and even gentlemen, they do have a free day trial, 5-day free trial, and it's great to, from workout to stretching, even trying to get over any injuries like myself. So, I just wanted to give a shout out to them and let them know thank you for having me. So, back to parental alienation. I recently started seeing somebody who has a beautiful 4-year-old daughter, and he was so excited, and he went shopping, and he filled his car trunk with gifts. Well, baby mama caught wind of me. Well, to end the happiness, and basically gave him an ultimatum. He said, your daughter or the B word. And so, of course, he was not going to not see his daughter. And I'm the type of woman that definitely tries to, you know, be there for my person, and I don't believe in parental alienation. And so, unfortunately, he was not allowed to see her for Christmas. But she did come get his gift when she decided money would have been better. But sadly, it was told it can't be from Daddy, but only Santa. Ladies, come on. This really has to stop. Parental alienation is real, and the kids are definitely the one that end up suffering in the end. So, I would love to welcome back my amazing co-host, who is also an admin for Father's Rights Group, Mikey Rowland. Mikey, how are you?
Happy New Year! How you doing, Becky?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing marvelously, and I'm very excited to hear from our guest that we're going to have today.
Yes, we definitely have a great, happy update from a previous guest, and then we also have kind of a difficult journey that someone shared in the group, and I felt his story needed to be shared, so he will be on with us shortly after. So, I would love to welcome back Chad Ginter. Hi, how are you?
Happy New Year. And listen, you are absolutely right. We are not turning it down for anything in 2018. It's going to be Dad on a Mission the entire way.
That's awesome. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, tell me, let's give it the happy update and kind of let everybody know what's going on with little one now.
Hold on for a second, Chad. Now, you got to reset it for us. Just give us a brief summary of where you came from, what the journey was, and then where you are now.
Oh, man, I'm still on this journey, and it's absolutely amazing. And it gets better by the day. where we left off last time was I was still going through the conciliation process and you know, levitating and going through these attorneys and just finding out, you know, who really wants to help me and who just wants to be in there for the money. Because, I mean, let's be realistic. You can just sit in there as an attorney and just keep milking and milking and milking the single fathers out there, the single mothers out there, and just continue to milk them. And it's definitely not right. So I definitely found a new guy. The guy, John King, he's out of Harrisburg. He's called the guy's attorney. He's been devoted to focusing on family law for more than 20 years. So what he really is doing is stepping up for men, for single fathers who are going through different custody battles as such in my case. So he's been a big heavy hitter and that brought him on board. When I sat down with him and spoke with him, he said, Chad, he said, listen, man, he's like, you're already three quarters of the way home. He's like, I'm just going to sit back, allow you to do everything from here on out. And he's like, when you need my help, I'll step in. Awesome, man. Awesome. So we go to this conciliation. We go to this, I'm sorry, the, is it the reunification process where I had to go in with my daughter and a counselor, and we sit, and then she meets everything, and then she discusses out of a when that we can then become together as one. So when I first spoke to this woman, and fellas, listen, when you're doing this, make sure you're taking notes and jotting everything down. I could not get a hold of this woman for almost over a month, but I jotted everything down, so they sent everything to her attorney, and everything was cool then. Anyway, we got in, it was $90 per session. So I got in $90 per session for the hour. So I got in for the initial consultation, and she was like, well, what kind of insurance does she have? And she, my daughter has CHIP. She said, well, that's perfect. She's like, she's covered, so you won't have to pay anything. Oh, this will be great. So I go, long story short, with that, she canceled her insurance before we went to this, the reunification process. And now, according to the last court order or the court document that was pushed through with the conciliation, daddy is in for all funds to be paid, you know, during this process of how many times. Cool, whatever, you know what I mean. I'm in the process. Let's just keep this moving. So she took, I guess it was two sessions after my initial session. And then, the woman, she said, okay, look, we're going to bring you both in. We're going to bring daddy and daughter in, show up 10 minutes after the scheduled time so that we can bring you in. Cool, not a problem. So we pulled up. I purposely, stayed back for a little bit. And then I pulled into the parking lot looking around, looking for mommy's car. Mommy's car is not there. I'm like, okay, maybe they're not here. So they pull up right next to me. Oh, my goodness. I looked at my daughter, and my daughter looked at me, and she gave me the biggest smile in the entire world. Now keep in mind that mommy has already went in and spoke to this woman and made me out to be the 100% complete monster of monster. Like, I'm saying, this monster's bigger than ever. And we go into this woman, and as we first start, the woman says to me, she's like, I've never had this in my entire life. I was like, what do you mean? Well, to have my daughter, or to have a young girl and her father connect like we did. I said, I already told you that in the initial contact. I told you this was going to happen. I said, just let it go. Just watch everything. So we've been seeing each other every week. So then we came up to last week, and the Monday fell on Christmas. So we then made plans to go to Sky Zone. Ugh, let me tell you, Sky Zone is a bunch of trampolines, and it was one heck of a workout. So I was, going on cardio and staying in shape and everything like that, because I can't have my little daughter beating me in some trampoline competition that she came up with at the elementary school. So it was on. We had the best of best times. And then we were supposed to meet today to go to see the new Star Wars, but, that didn't happen. But we are scheduled for our next appointment with me, my daughter, mommy, and the counselor will be next Monday, and then the following Monday after that, we will be back in court. It's definitely teaching me a lot of patience, just for the simple fact of there was so much stuff thrown at me at all these last conciliations that made no sense whatsoever, knowing who I am and what I'm about and what I want to do for my daughter. And it was just absolutely just crazy, and the different directions that you are pointed in through this legal advice is absolutely ridiculous, because there's so many ways that I didn't have to do certain things or maybe have jumped through too many hoops to just get something silly. But at this point, why not? So now I just want to help as many single fathers as possible to let them know, like, listen, you can do this instead of this, or save your money on this and buy this. So, but we're here. I'm seeing her, and it's a start, and it's absolutely awesome. It can only get better from here. You know what I mean? It's not going to get worse. You know, so but that's where I'm at right now. I don't know, Becky. Tell me.
Well, I've been following you on your Facebook and your Facebook Live, and your smile when you were getting ready for Sky Zone, I'm sure you didn't stop smiling for, like, days. Like, you just were so stoked. And that was so exciting to see. And so I was just like, yes, you know, like, this is so awesome. So remind our listeners, what is the group that you're working with now and what you're putting together, hopefully push forward and, you know, start mentoring others with?
Absolutely. I have the domain name, so it is taking a while, but I promise you fellas, it will be out there. But it's going to be dadonamission.org. And what it is it's going to help unite single fathers across the country to unite as one, to unite as if they would need help, or if they would need advice, or if they would need a job somewhere along the lines that somebody else as a single father could help another one out. It's just, I feel if we just group up or team up as one big positive team and just roll forward, who's going to stop us? You know what I mean? You got a lot of single fathers out there that are fighting to be in their child's life, and here we are. And then there's a lot out there that don't want nothing to do with them. But we're here. We're working each and every day. We're working our backside off, 2-3 jobs, 2 full-time jobs, and maybe a part-time job. And you never have time, but you have to do it. Why? Because all these bills keep coming in. Dadonamission.org, fellas. I promise you. But it's going to get up. It's going to get running. And then we're just going to dictate it from there and see how it goes. I've been talking to my new attorney, and he has some ideas that, you know, we're going to sit down and share and, you know, throw back and forth. But I'm telling you, don't be surprised to look in your phone book and find a guy's attorney in your city. And this is across America. This is all we're coming for you guys. We're coming.
I love that. All right, well, guys, I want to play a clip, and I want your guys' feedback after the clip. So hold on 1 second. Okay, guys, so what do you think about that? This is Judge Judy, that it was a recent show, and I felt like she finally kind of got the message out there for fathers, like, hey, you know, you guys, 50-50, like, this is the person you decided to have a child with, and, you know, basically suck it up. It's about the kids now. What are you guys' thoughts?
Well,
I saw that clip.
Blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear it anything. I didn't hear very well.
Yeah, it was kind of garbled, but I saw that clip, Becky, and I can tell you that she hit it right on the head. She basically laid it out for the one woman that was there talking as if that child was hers and she owned it, and the father had no type of rights, and she had a huge sense of entitlement towards the father, too. So I love that clip, but that was going around. And I'm 100% in agreement with it.
So, Chad, what is your thought?
Well, I didn't really get to hear it. I heard blah, 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 blah. I didn't really get to hear that.
Oh, no.
But I mean, well, once you summed it up, I mean, it you know what I mean? I definitely trust in you guys. You know what I mean?
Now, there's another one that's actually going around on Facebook. It was Dad finally got basically sick and tired of Mom, you know, just send me my child support, but you can't come get your kids. And he had her arrested. Like, how do you guys feel about that? Would you ever do that to your baby's mom?
I 100%. I honest to God, I wanted to do it as peacefully as possible. I've been through, you know, the mud more than one time by my daughter's mother, but I would never wish anything bad upon her. You know what I mean? I feel that she has missed, you know, made a lot of bad mistakes, and maybe there's something out there for her, but I don't want to be the one to have to sit to you know, tell my daughter later on down the road to hate that daddy, you know, had your mom thrown in jail, you know, due to, you know, not paying or not abiding by the custody order. But I mean, it's, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's such a tough question because, I mean, it would have to be almost like right as it happens. But I mean, I you know what I mean? I mean, personally, I will
be very upfront with you. I learned a long time ago in this battle, which I've been there for three times for four children, and I went the nice route the first few times, and I wound up getting punished for that. So I adopted the mindset that I'm going to think like a woman and not for a woman. I will have absolutely no issues if she takes behavior, if she uses her behavior to get herself arrested. I will make that call because I have no qualms about it. And Becky, you know me. I won't do it just to do it. I've had chances to do it. But when they get physical with me or if they're just consistently and routinely breaking the order, I will bring in the law enforcement because at that point what will occur is they're not listening to me. They need a message to be sent to them. Now, as far as not paying child support, that one I may be out on, but as far as getting physical with me at drop-offs or denying my right to see my child, yes, I will call 911 and request that some type of mediation be done on the spot or arrest her. I have no problems doing that.
Okay, that's fair. Well, Chad, I would love for you to stick around and, you know, listen to the next guest story and maybe have some input and hopefully some advice also. Are you
absolutely
able to stay around? Oh, perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yes, do it.
Hey, Becky.
Yes.
Becky, there's a couple of questions I wanted to ask Chad.
Yes, please.
Chad, your story really touched me the last time you were on. But what I wanted to do is try to point out some of the things that I noticed about you. You have a lot of positive energy, and I'm sure that goes over very well, especially around your child. Many of the men that I speak with, I know it's a very damaging thing that happens to them, so they tend to get to the point where they're kind of demure or they have low energy or that you can feel the damage that's been done to them. And I wanted to ask you, how do you maintain this positive attitude?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, you stated as well, you know how it is. You know what I mean? We've been through it. I've been to the point of, you know, thinking about suicide. I've been to the point of just laying in my bed for 3 to 4 days. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to get you closer to seeing your daughter. And at keeping in mind, we already know we're a father. We are a father. That is our job. That is our responsibility. And that is what we want to do. We want to be a father. So I would walk around our town just depressed. And I went through. I went through everybody of everybody, started on Facebook, and just went through everybody. They were, you know, commenting something negative or if they were just, you know, just negative about something, you're done. Stay away from me. I wish you the best, but just stay away from me. I'm not on your level right now. Keep crawling up from there. Just as negativity breeds off of negativity, positivity does the same thing. You just grab one small positive and you bounce up that the whole way up, you know, the whole throughout the day. You take your time and you do it slowly. You build up to you know, then going in a couple of days, then a couple of days, because you will take a lot of energy to learn how to be so positive. But nothing in this world could possibly, you know, give me the amount of pain that I go through not being with my daughter. So I just keep the smile on and keep on rolling. It was just
okay.
What do they call it? You know, faking it to make it, just before you know, just
yep.
to get through the, you know, bad times. Because, you know, when someone's always smiling, they don't want to deal with you. They want to keep moving. They want to know why you're always smiling. Well, why is Chad always smiling? Blah, 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 blah. Let them worry about that. You know the mission you're on. You know where you're going. And you know where this whole outcome is going to be. Just keep positive, 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 positive. If you're negative, stay away from me. It's no big deal. Just stay away from me. But at some point, you know,
right.
you'll reach back to have some negative people and say, listen, Ma, you come on board now.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is your attorney. Now, the last time you were on, it sounds like you had an attorney that didn't really work for you. I think you may have been paying an hourly rate or something. Can you talk quickly or briefly about what you took into account when you got another attorney and how you approached things differently then?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as you know, as you're doing this as a single father, you're taking notes throughout the whole thing. What guy's going to feed you this? What guy's going to do this? And what guy's actually going to do what he's saying he's going to do? So you actually have to break it down and break it down for what you're paying him to, compared to doing like a lump sum in what you're paying him. You got to get the best bucks, you know, from your attorney, and that's all there's to it. So I got rid of him, didn't owe him anything, and I had to get somebody new. And this was the man in our area. You know, he has a consolation fee. So I sat down with him. He said, "Chad, listen, you're halfway there. You're more than halfway, and I'll take it from here." Cool, man. If you know you could do that. And also, he was referred to from a couple of my clients as well. So it definitely worked. It absolutely worked out, and it's going to work out for the rest.
Okay, so final question is, I know you had done a whole lot of effort to try to bring visibility to this, even, you know, getting the local media involved. There was, you know, the local police department. There were things going on there. You even mentioned that you were going to go on a Dr. Phil show, right, to try to get there. So of all the effort that you put into here, which one gave you the highest bang for the buck?
I'd say, oh man, I don't know. I don't know how to say it because I mean, I the bang for the buck. I mean, I feel that
which
I
was,
the bang for the buck.
Which one was most key in you getting to where you are now, besides you keeping your positive attitude?
Oh, I would just say, listen, and it's free, fellas. Just stay focused. Stay focused and be patient and just continue to go. If anything, I would definitely, you know, look into these attorneys and do the research on these attorneys and not just hand them the, you know, the $1,500 or the $2,000. Don't do that. Do the research on them before and then have the consultation.
All right.
Okay.
All right. That's what I wanted to know. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, I love that. I love the positivity. I love the advice. And our next guest, his story includes basically a whole bunch of stuff with corruption, CPS, jail, a car accident. Please welcome Randy Carver to the show. Randy, are you on?
I'm on. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How
can
about
you hear
yourself?
Me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. All right. So,
hanging in there. Everybody.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Hello, Randy.
Hi. How you doing?
So, Randy, I have two other. I have my co-host Mikey Rowland and Chad Ginter, who is also on. And they're going to listen to the story and kind of give feedback also because they are the active in the father's rights groups. And so go ahead and, you know, share a little bit about your story. What's going on?
Oh, quite a bit of a story. I guess I'll start in the beginning. Me and my ex, we lived with each other for a few years. She ended up getting pregnant, which I found out from a mutual friend. There was something she did on her own. She stopped taking her birth control. She decided she wanted to have kids, and turned out my friend is the one who told it. Just act like it was an accident, you know. So when she was originally from Texas, she was living up here, I think, 5 years before I met her here up in New York, and when she let her parents know she was pregnant. We were going to have another baby, and her parents came up from Texas and they tried to lure her back to Texas. Her mother wanted that child in Texas, apparently. And she tried to bribe us and said, we'll buy you a house in Texas if you come to Texas and stuff like that. I wasn't interested when I basically was like, let them know that I wasn't interested in going to Texas. Right away, her father was like, you have no rights to him. My son wasn't even born yet. I think she was maybe 5 or 6 months pregnant at the time. And after that point, her parents stayed here for a couple of weeks. They went back to Texas after that. And before they left, my ex came, because she was staying with them while they were visiting. She came back home and she says to me, I could leave with them. There is a way. And at the time, I kind of knew they spoke to this woman that we knew who was an attorney here in the area, who we knew because we rented an apartment from her. And our parents befriended her while they came for a visit one time. And which turned out to be true because – and I had a feeling that she was going to leave. And I guess my son was 4 months old when she decided to leave. At that same day, this attorney comes to my house with her, which I didn't know who she was at the time, but it was her sister-in-law. And she says, you know, my ex is never coming back with my son. I'll never see him again. And we got stuff on you and this and that, which they never had anything on me, because I never presented anything. It was all scare tactics. Hopefully that I would never pursue legal action. When I called for a missing persons report with the police went and spoke to the attorney, and the attorney said to me, told them that I planned this with them for months, that this was in planning. And she went back to Texas, which I kind of figured is where she was going to go. It took me, I had to petition the court 3 times to get her ordered back here. And the first time we went in front of the court, the judge knew that she had taken off to Texas with the child. And supposedly he knew because his sister was a coworker and a friend of my ex, which he should have recused himself from the whole thing from the get-go, but he insisted on staying on the case of it. So it was 3 days before the third petition I had to file with the court, getting her ordered back here to New York. I was stopped at a traffic light, and I was hit by a car in the rear. The other car was doing about 60 miles an hour. This was a highway that had traffic lights on it. And she folded up the car. The car was thrown across the intersection. They found her actually down the highway in the median. So she was apparently a hit and run. She gave 2 different stories to the police about why she hit me. The first one was she said she had a dog in the car. She was paying attention to the dog in the car. And then that was to the paramedics. After the paramedics, her sister-in-law, the attorney, showed up. And after that is when the police and everybody else came. And then after her attorney came, she had a different story to the police. As she said, she was sneezing repeatedly. And the next thing she knew, she hit me. So it was an act of God. The police that I've spoken to all told me that this knew who the attorney was and said she's one of those corrupt lawyers. They said this was not an accident. And they were like, well, how are you going to prove it, though? So long story short with that, I have 4 bad discs in my neck, a torn meniscus in my knee, and a ruptured disc in my lower back and a broken vertebrae in my lower back, which I'd just gone under surgery about 8 months ago with that. When she was ordered back here, she came back and she had to make some statement of why she left. And she's basically, her thing was, oh, I was abused. No record of abuse, never ever went to the police. There was nothing ever of any kind of abuse. But they had to say something why they left. So ever since then, it's been a battle. And then apparently when she went to Texas, she was pregnant with my daughter, which we didn't know at the time. I found out from my attorney at the time, their paralegal spilled the beans to my paralegal when she was about 5 months pregnant. She was already back here for several months. And she hid the fact that she was pregnant. So he brought that to the court's attention, whatever. Court didn't blink an eye at it, didn't care. We were in co-parenting sessions that were ordered by the court at the time. Eventually, she had bad reports from that co-parenter, who also was trying to encourage her to talk to me about my daughter. I was also supposed to see my daughter be born at the hospital, which they tried to keep me out of the hospital. And they wanted a different co-parenting counselor, counselor shopping. We got another one. We were with her for a couple of years, and eventually she got bad reports from her, and they didn't want to see her anymore. And it's always been parental alienation. She's tried to reduce my visitation with my kids any way she can. She's done a lot of false allegations to the court, stating that I don't come pick up my child when I'm supposed to, this and that. She had stated days that I don't even have my kids. A lot of the stuff was all through text messages. There was proof of it all. Court didn't care. Eventually, I filed for sole custody based on parental alienation. She's also, my kids have repeated many things to me. When my son says to me, how come you don't hug me when your mother's around? And he would say, I don't hug daddy because I love mommy too. And if mommy knows that I love, that I love daddy, mommy's going to attack daddy. Things of that nature. I mean, I have a whole log book of it that I documented. Mommy's the mommy and the daddy. Numerous stuff like that. People in my family, my kids would say, to my mother, they would say, you're a bad lady. And but there was lots of stuff like that. They would try to make my kids to be afraid at my house, saying that there was monsters under their bed, there was bears in the woods behind the house, and stuff like that, trying to make them be afraid here. And so the judge actually, I think knew at that time that I was going to file for sole custody. And at that time, he said, close out my son's file, which was mean putting a permanent order on it. Because with a permanent order, I couldn't go back to anything prior to that, about her taking off, hiding, but the second child. I didn't see my daughter. First time I saw my daughter, I think she was 9 months old. And I didn't actually start having visitation with her until she was like 13 or 14 months old. She did everything she could. She also made statements that the child, I couldn't have or see the child because the child could not be fed solid foods. Mind you, this child's a year old. She could only be breastfed. She can't be bottle fed. She has a vomiting problem. And if she does anything but breastfed, she will vomit. They tried to take the child to a specialist. She had a doctor she was seeing at like an urgent care center instead of a pediatrician, and he would help her get all these specialists to say all these wacky things. And the specialist in his report said he was mystified by such a statement. but they were trying everything they could to keep me from them. And so at that point, we went. I had filed eventually. The judge tried to keep the trial out of the courtroom, saying that's got to be a change of circumstances and blah, blah, blah. Turned out there was never an order on my daughter and my son. All the orders were always temporary orders, except for that one time when he thought that I was going to file for sole custody. Then he finally did something. And I believe at this point that he only did for all those years temporary orders, none that were permanent, because he figured that they were going to find a way. Now, remind you, the judge, the law guardian, and this attorney who didn't act as her attorney but would always be in the courtroom during any sessions we had there, and she would go up to her acting attorney with cue cards in what to say and what to do. And And these people work together all the time. They're in the same courtroom. They're in the same area. And they will collude with each other. And it started becoming more and more apparent over time, especially now. We just went through trial, and trial is over with. And I tried everything I could to forgive her for what she did and try to make things right just for my kids' sake. But she, as she stated in co-parenting, she goes, my lawyer said get anything I can on him. And it was more or less her parents. The parents were the ones who were pushing the whole thing. And the reason why she went to Texas was because her parents, when they were here before my son was born, had offered her money. She wouldn't have to work. She'd be taken care of the same way they did for her son, their son. It was like on his fourth house, I think, when we were dating. He worked at Lowe's, minimum wage job, but he had a house, two cars, two kids, a wife that didn't work because the parents were supporting them. The parents inherited a large sum of money from a great-grandfather who had a ranch in Texas. When he died, they sold off the ranch, and the family got a lot of money from it. And so my lawyer at the time stated that to the court that we could go ahead with trial for sole custody because there wasn't a order on my daughter, even though the judge was saying there was an order on both kids. And she's like, nope, there was an order in the file at the court that wasn't dated. It didn't say whether if it was permanent or temporary, and it was never sent to anybody. The judge was kind of aggravated. He went into his chambers and slammed his door. He was trying to prevent it from going to trial because he knew the evidence against her, she would not win. So they did everything they can to prevent it. And at that point, I had a settlement from my accident, which that money was given to my parents because attorney fees and stuff throughout that whole thing, it's over $100,000, which is all equity on my parents' house. And I got very little money out of my settlement from the car accident. And that money was spoken for before I even had child support. And I was up to date on my child support. I had arrears only from somehow they were able to sneak my ex's medical bills from giving birth to my daughter into my child support. And prior to that, her giving birth to her, we went through this whole thing when she came back, is she's the one who had the insurance on my son through her job, and she didn't keep it. She left her job and left to Texas on Cobra. She had no insurance for the kids or herself at the time, which we thought was irresponsible. And when spoken to her about it, she had no idea. She goes, what's Cobra? She didn't even know. And we believe at this point that she double dipped into the system. She got reimbursed for those expenses as, according to social services, she was on Medicaid, and my children were covered, and I believe she was covered at the time also during when my daughter was born. The thing is, I believe, is that you can't cover a child before they're born, and it's actually the child's not giving birth, the mother's giving birth, it's the mother's medical expenses. According to the insurance company, that's how they stated it to me, and it's also the same thing with DSS has stated to me. I don't know what you guys have in California, but DSS is like social services here, which handles the child support and welfare and other kind of things. And right before we were supposed to go into trial, the judge ordered that I pay them the over $11,000 in her medical bills that was in my arrears, which I've been paying, which I paid down from, I think it was originally like $13,000 or $14,000 besides my child support that I had to pay. And their lawyer was jumping up and down the whole thing, put him in jail, put him in jail, put him in jail. And that's what the judge did. And I had a different attorney at the time that I had to use for that because couldn't use my attorney that I was using for the family court portion because his wife is actually an attorney for DSS, for child support. So it was a conflict of interest. And he didn't understand it. He goes, DSS is not even taking you to court on this. It's your ex that's doing it. And you've been paying it. And I didn't actually have an order from child support to pay those arrears that I was paying. There was never an order of it. So it was like, there's no order of it. You've been paying it. And they're trying to use debtor's imprisonment on you, which is an abolished law from the 1830s. And he sentenced me for 60 days in jail, hoping that would be after my trial finish date. So he could utilize the excuse of he's in jail. I can't give him custody. How can I give a father custody when he's in jail? So we're appealing that. And also I'm getting a civil rights lawyer because he also violated my civil rights on that. And so it was one thing after another trying to not have me win this trial. And it became more important, apparent as trial went through. My attorney at the time, who was the best one I actually had out of the five attorneys I had in these past 5 years, she didn't really want the case. She didn't want to go to trial, and she was trying to find ways out of it. So I relieved her from doing it. Then the law guardian, who has acted on my side throughout the whole time and had suggested a new attorney for me, who I got a hold of, and brought him in, which was a big mistake because now I find out the law guardian was a decoy. She's very good friends with the attorney who originally helped them take off and leave and has been orchestrating this whole thing with my ex's parents. And that my attorney came in and he did very little. I had over 8 inches of information of evidence of her parental alienation and other stuff and irresponsibility as a parent. And he didn't utilize one piece of it throughout my trial.
Hey, Randy.
Yes.
I have a question for you. As you've been laying this out, I've probably got like 6 different questions I wanted to ask you, but, what's your current standing at this point? What's the next step that you have to take?
The next step I'm taking, trial just finished, I think like 2 weeks ago. We haven't gotten a verdict from the judge yet, but we all know what that's going to be. And after the trial was over on the last day, everybody went into the judge's chambers, the law guardian, the attorneys, and the judge. And I happened to go into the court library, which is an adjacent wall. I overheard everything. And all my suspicions were accurate. They were making sure that I would have never won this, and they were making sure that there was a way that my ex would eventually be able to go back to Texas with the kids with sole custody. They were just waiting for something that they can get on me and make it look good in case it ever got appealed. And that's where I'm going next is in the past 2 years, I've made a couple appearances at the appellate about the what's been going on with this whole thing, the attorneys and the judge's etiquette on this. And they want the whole thing put into writing, which I'm doing now. And I'm going back to the appellate on this, and one of the appellate judges I'm going to speak with before the judge's decision comes out, I think, in February.
Okay.
So that's my move to see what they can do, because really this needs to be a retrial, and all these players need to get out of the way, and it needs to go into neutral territory.
I agree. So Becky, Randy, Becky and Chad, give me just a moment because there's some interesting things that you stated, Randy. One thing I wanted to know quickly is in Texas, there's mandatory mediation when you're in a custody dispute. You must do mediation, and about 90% of cases in Texas are settled through mediation. I settled the 3 times I went to court. It was ruled in my favor in the temporary hearings, and then we went to mediation, and we just cemented it from there. So do you guys have anything like that? Is there mandatory mediation there?
No.
In California,
we don't have.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
And I know in California we do, yes. We do have to go to mediation before.
You know, we don't have that in New York. They actually suggested that in the initial part of this whole thing about getting a mediator, but it wasn't going to do anything for us. Like I said, they had an agenda, and they were going to, you know, do whatever they can to make that agenda happen. It got to a point we actually had a 50-50 split. I think that's because they felt they had no choice in that. It was after the second counsel we had, and she had pretty much bad reports. But they were going to find a way to reel that back eventually anyway. I took care of my son with school. She had the weekends because that's what she wanted, because that was time to be able to do things with kids. And I had them during the week, from Monday to Thursday. She had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, things were best then when we had a parental counselor. I actually suggested a parental coordinator, but the court here has never ever done anything with a coordinator, and has never utilized like the Family Wizard software or anything like that. I brought that up so she couldn't use the excuses she always had to. She would come up with reasons why I couldn't see my kids.
I want to make sure I jump in here because there were some things I wanted to make sure of that we addressed. It sounds like you still got that same judge.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm going to the appellate, because it needs to be put into neutral territory, and he needs to get off the case. He needs to recuse himself from this whole thing. I mean, there has been a conflict of interest since day one with him.
Right, right. And I just want to make sure that everyone understood that you have a plan in place to take this into somebody who's not as biased as this person is on your case. So let me throw a couple of more things out there. The act of pretending like it was an accident, that happened to me. I want to give you kudos because you did not flinch when you said it. And for a while, I knew that this had happened to me with one of my children, that the mother lied and said she was on birth control, and everybody shamed me or attempted to shame me about that. But finally, after 10 years, she sent me an email and admitted that she lied about being on birth control in order for me to get her pregnant. So I want to give you kudos for that, because as a man, you know, society is going to try to make you feel bad and make you feel like you did something wrong. But we went into that with the understanding that it was a monogamous relationship with no intentions of having children, but she was lying from the start. So kudos on that. The other thing is, when you talked about, I'm going to throw this out there, there is a playbook that I find that men are absent or ignorant of, where most women, they know, they get help from their female peers or from just people that know the law. They know and have a playbook on how to separate you from your children, and they will use that, which is why I, again, advocate for men, if you suspect that your woman, your wife, or your girlfriend is going to leave you, you need to file first. That is my advice to every man. If you get it wrong, but you get custody of your kids, you can always go back and remarry her if you want to. But if you wait, most divorces are filed by women. And so, Becky, you know me well. I have no ill intent. I just believe that when a man decides, I'm going to go ahead and fight for my children, which one of my judges told me. She said most men do not even ask for custody, Mr. Stevens, Mr. Rowland. So I applaud you for doing that. So, guys, listen to what's going on and get down there first and file for custody of your kids. Two more things. The attorney that you used up until then, when she was using two attorneys, you mentioned that one of her attorneys was handing little notes to the other one. I can tell you that my attorney had a lot of experience, and they leveraged that because there's a gap. My attorney took a piece of paper and took it up to my ex, or my wife at the time, and had her acknowledge that paper. Meanwhile, the other two attorneys were trying to go back and forth, and so that's a weakness right there. If you can exploit that by having an attorney that can be sharp enough to say, okay, they gotta collaborate. I don't. Let me go and address the mother while they're over there collaborating. That was a huge gap in my case, and it yielded final thing I will say is, if you can, you just mentioned there's the mediation wouldn't work for you. I always promote mediation because in that time frame, you can get them to admit things or put things out there that they're probably going to use in court. But you know your case better than I do. But that's all I had to say. I'm sorry, Becky. I wanted to get that out there because you gave a lot of information, and I'm just sitting here taking notes.
No, yeah. I appreciate the feedback. Chad, do you have anything to do a feedback on?
Listen, Randy, we need to get ASAP. Me and you, let's just go. Holy cow, buddy. I know exactly what you're going through, and I'm 100% on board with you with the whole, you know, you fighting and stuff like that. That's mad, you know, that's us. That's what we do. Mine, on the other hand, was not necessarily my daughter's mother knowing everybody from the custody side. It was my daughter's mother and her family and stuff like that being on the criminal side. So now I have a whole criminal history. But now I'm just slowly backtracking as I'm getting forward. And all these, like you were saying, all these names are being unveiled. And people, they're just stamping them. So now it's just such plain as day. Now I just got to backtrack everything. But, hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? But, you know, keep up with the fight, man. Definitely. But like I said, we need a vacation.
Tell me about it. Yeah, well, before trial, she also made allegations to CPS, Child Protection Services, that I was physically abusing my kids. And that was some of the other things was that she said she took the kids to a therapist, and the therapist is the one who claimed and called CPS. And I had contacted this therapist person to see if I could speak to them, and they blew me off. They only called me after we just had a forensic with this woman who turns out was in collusion with them also, because she also lied that she's never spoke to her lawyer before when we had documents from him that would address to the court that he did. And they were trying to get her in and into co-parenting counselor, then in forensic. They were trying to get her in one way or another. And the thing was, the dates didn't add up in her petitions to the court, because apparently the intake from CPS was done before she went to the therapist. So she has dates that she stated she went, started bringing the kids to this therapist, where the kids stated they were abused and put in a dryer and all this other stuff that never happened. But yet her intake to CPS was prior, before the kids ever saw this woman. And I brought that up to my attorney and everything. He never brought it up in court. I mean, it was apparent after that my attorney was a fall guy. It was a reason why the law guardian had brought him in there. And they made a lot of threats to me, the court, during this time too, because they didn't want an appeal. So the law guardian was telling me, well, if you take this plea bargain, you may be able to get to see your kids again. I'm like, well, CPS came back as all unfounded. They investigated. There was no abuse to my kids. I should have had my kids back, but the court wouldn't give the kids back to me. And they had based on nothing. They had no reasons to keep them from me. So they've been trying to do these plea bargains with me, which basically gave me nothing, just so, because if I agreed to it, there couldn't have been an appeal after that. So what they were trying to do is making sure there was no appeal. So I knew better, and I didn't take any of that. I went along with the trial, which whenever was a show, because at that time they were also stating that because of this permanent order that was on my son back in 2015, which they were stating it was 2016, they wouldn't let me speak about anything prior to that, even though there was never an order on my daughter. But they brought in specialists who were going to talk about things that were prior to that. So they had every intention of speaking prior to that date, but they didn't allow me to speak about anything about that. So they left me really with nothing, no evidence at that point. But they allowed her to say whatever she wanted to say at any point about anything that happened at any point in time. So you can see how this trial was completely biased and one-sided. And they made sure there was a lot of stuff that they didn't have put on the record. There was also evidence that I brought in as a recording from the person that I did finally get to speak to 2 months after she saw my kids was that therapist. I finally got to speak to her. And she told me 2 months after she saw the kids for the first time and made allegations to CPS that she didn't know anything. She was just getting to know my kids. And as far as if mom is putting the kids up to saying these things, I don't know that at this point. But she made a call to CPS 2 months prior. And I recorded all of that. And the forensic I had with the woman who did the forensic, I also had recorded her. The court told me that they would get a hold of the DA and put me back in jail if I didn't turn over the evidence, which I had every right and any legal right for that recording. Because in the state of New York, you can record as long as you're one of the parties that's in the recording. And they didn't want that evidence out there. And they actually took the flash drive with two pliers and destroyed it in the courtroom and shredded up the transcript.
That is amazing. Your story is just heartbreaking, and I feel like hopefully, you know, there's going to be a happy medium. But, I mean, Mikey and I would love to have you back and, you know, get a happy up. We're going to have to wrap it up soon. So for Randy and Chad, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course. So, Mikey, do you have any last words for our listeners?
I just want to say I applaud both of you gentlemen. You're smart men who looked at the weaknesses and strengths of your case and attacked them appropriately. Randy, keep doing what you're doing. I'm a firm believer that you cannot stop people who are able to analyze strengths and weaknesses. It's only up to you. So thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate it, guys. And come back to us and let us know what happens.
Cool.
Sure,
thank you
sure.
so much.
Thank you for having me on. I've been wanting, you know, this is a big story. There's a lot to it. And one day I'm thinking I'm going to write a book about all this. And, you know, I'm glad to get it out there to some people. And, you know, I'm sure others have probably dealt with stuff maybe similar to this. I mean, I know this is, I think, a little to the extreme because there's this small town corruption thing that's going on that my ex, you know, her family got herself, you know, tied in with. But, I don't feel like I'm just fighting my ex here like a lot of fathers do. I'm also, I felt the whole time I'm fighting the system, too.
Definitely. That is so true. Well, I would like to thank all our sponsors, listeners, and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, and hearting us on all social media at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, hug those babies. They grow too fast. Own your choice. Namaste and good night.
Is that how that ends?
It's fine.
Yeah, my story, like, it's hard to...
It's all right. You were good. You got the whole thing.